Sunday local. Cool. Let's stretch out our hands towards him. Father, we thank you for Angelo. We thank you for the work that you're doing in his life, God. And we are expecting, God, for just what it is that he's going to be sharing and how he's going to be sharing it. And we just pray, Lord, that you would might give him peace and know that, Lord, that you are his hope. And it's the story of you in his life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
So I've been told just to keep it very short, so I'll try my very best. So to start off, so to go back about 8 years ago, so I was 15 and my whole life being brought up in a Catholic household, forced to go to church. I didn't like it. And I never felt like I was really in that place. So it was more like I was just to be there, just to fulfill something which I didn't actually want to do. And also like being in the Catholic household, I thought my family was normal, which it completely is not. Totally out of the ordinary, not a normal family. And I think I realized that the one time where I went over to my friend's house, I was sleeping over, and just to be with his family, being hugged by his parents, having a meal around the table, playing board games, and just speaking, I was like, this is not what I do in my family. So I told the parents, this is not ordinary. You guys are crazy. Like, that's really what I thought, because my family would never do that. We would get our food, we go our separate ways, we go into our own rooms. We don't speak to one another. It's just hi and bye. That's it. From feeling that, I'm like, whoa, like, is this really what family is? And through that, I was just going through a thing of, okay, like, what is this? Like, what is my family, actually, compared to other families? So then as well, struggling through a period of time and like having friends tell me like, go away, I'm not your friend anymore and stuff, where I would say I'm different from other people in a way. I don't want to be part of the crowd. I want to be completely different. And they rejected me for that. And then I would join a group of friends, which is the cool people. They would smoke and drink, and I'll be a part of that only for a week. And I told them, hey guys, I don't feel this is right. I don't want this to be my life. And they rejected me for that. And they said, you cannot hang out with us. You need to do these things to be with us. So I said, fine, I'll leave. And then at that point, I had no friends. Felt very, very low. Wasn't loved. And then it was one day. So I remember it so like it was yesterday. It was the 30th of April, 2017. I just felt very low. Like, no one loved me. I was just filling a space in this world. And what was my point of doing this life? And then actually going through it, I needed some help because I wasn't in the right space of mind. And I went to my parents and I said, hey, mom, can you help me? And she was just too busy on the phone and saying, no, go ask your dad. We're always on the phone. And going to my dad, he's on the couch. Same thing every night. He's drunk on the couch with a drink in his hand. And when I asked him for help, he probably doesn't even remember that I asked him for help. So I knew right there. I was like, okay, no one loves me in this world. I'm pretty much useless. And what's my point of being here? I could literally be somewhere else alone and it wouldn't make a difference. So then by that time, my dad got home and I saw there was some rope in the back of his bucket and I thought, okay, cool. I'm going to jump off my garage stairs tonight. I don't care anymore. I'm going to give my life up. Because what's the point, actually, of doing this? I'm just every day going through the same motion and not feeling that sense of love, which I've always tried to give to other people. I've always tried to give and give and give. And the more I was giving, the less I was getting back. So eventually I tried to give and give myself to a point where I couldn't actually give anymore and I was getting absolutely nothing back. So I was in my room that night. I locked the door. It was maybe 2 or 3 hours. I'm just listening to music. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to wait for everyone to go to sleep. Tie the knot. Make a note. Put it under my bed. And then, they're going to just see me in a garage on a rope. That's what I thought. I thought, okay, cool. Like, if they don't love me, they're not going to care about it. So, and then listening through my music, I think I was yeah, just listen to my music to be like, okay, cool, like I just want to go through everything one more time and then get out of here. And then as I was nearing like the end, it was maybe 2 hours in, I'm sitting in the corner of my room, it's pitch black, and I'm just crying, and no one was there to knock on the door, no one was there to open the door to say, hey, you're right, or anything like that, and I knew, okay, cool, it's what it is. And then one song played, and yeah, I was like hectic into like EDM songs, like just with the beat and everything, and there was one song came across, and as it's nearing the end of the song, because I skipped through half of it, I just closed my eyes, and the lyrics came, with God as your witness, never had it so good. And then nearing towards the end of that, of the lyric, it was, it's all on you. But as my eyes were closed, I tried to open my eyes, and in such a way, it was just this bright light. And just to remember that I'm in a pitch black room, there is nothing there. So open my eyes, and I see this bright light, brightest light I've ever seen in my life, to this day as well. And I just see this picture, a white robe, and then a hand sticking out, and there's a hole in the hand. And then I like had this choice almost of, do I take this hand or do I not take this hand? Is it like, is it life or is it death? And I had nothing to run to or anyone to go to. I felt that period of time. And I just reached out, grabbed the, like felt like I grabbed the hand. And when my eyes were opened, still pitch black, and I'm standing up. And I was like, I was sitting down moments ago, and yeah, crying there, and I got up, and as I reached out for this hand, I stood up, and I was like, whoa, okay, and like my whole mind kind of switched, and I was like, I'm actually more valuable than what people think I am in that, I mean, obviously through the years, God like just revealing my testimony over and over and over to me again, he's showing like, that's where I saved you, like, that's where I loved you, where no one else has loved you, so through that, it's just, yeah, like no one was there. No one even told me about Jesus. I was just in a Catholic church where it was such a this and this and this. It was such in an order. There was no life actually. Yeah, and again, him like felt like he just took this darkness that was covering my eyes. That he was trying to put me down and put me in the grave. But it's actually like no, that he took that thing off and he showed me life. He showed me love. A love that I would never experience from my parents, from my friends at that time. Yeah, and I thank you for putting me in this family, actually, that each one of you that actually showing me love, that I don't get it home myself. Okay, so that's my first one. So I got a second testimony. Yeah, just to show like what God has done through my life, and I could pick so many testimonies of what He's done. But yet again, it's yeah. So as I was preparing for my marathon last year that God had asked me to run, he told me actually that I must wear a banner of his name, actually. And I didn't really get the whole concept of, okay, cool, I must wear something. So I got a shirt that had victory on it, and it had like a little T that resembled a cross. And I thought, okay, cool, people are going to see that while I'm running. And as I'm running during this marathon, everyone's just shouting, go victory, go victory. I'm like, oh, you guys don't get the message. It's the cross is there, but it's so small. And I was like, oh, okay. Like no one said anything. Yeah. And then as I'm preparing, I prepared for another race to do a half marathon. And actually, again, God reminded me, he said, hey, I want my name. I want that banner. And I said, okay. Then I made a shirt and I said, this time I'm not going to just go a small little cross or anything. I'm going to go big, I'm going to go bold, and I'm going to do and say the truth. So I had a shirt that said, Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. I had a big cross at the back. And I was going to run this half marathon with a shirt. The rules actually say is that I'm not allowed to wear anything to promote or anything like that. And I said, forget it. I'm going to run it. And if they tell me not to run with the shirt, okay, cool. I'll run with the shirt and I'll have it up. So through that actually running, I started running, going my normal pace. No one said anything yet, but I think it was because my worship music was a bit too loud. And as I started slowing down, I got a bit more tired, but more tired than usual, which is weird. So I started slowing down. I tried to go for a set pace, but then I completely lost it. And people started actually stopping by and saying like, hey, I love the shirt. Hey, I love what you're doing. Amen. Shaking my hand. And it was just like this love. And I really thought, okay, we're in the shirt. People are going to absolutely hate me. And they're going to tell me, why are you doing this? And other religious people there. And yeah, but it was actually the opposite. I actually got the sense of love, which is like, people are not afraid to actually come and say amen or to shout out and be like, yes, what you're doing is good. And as I was slowing down, more and more people were coming, more people were passing by. And it was just so cool to see that. And then as the race was finished, walking back to my car, and this guy from across the street, he comes running over. He also just completed the race. And comes running to me, goes, hey, dude, I love your shirt. Thank you very much. That's my reminder to go to church this morning. And actually, I completely forgot. So before it was, wear a banner of my name and you will bring someone to church. I forgot to say that. And he said he's going to go to church. So I told him, hey, what church are you in? He says, no, I'm not in a church. My friend invited me to a church just down the street from my house. And thank you for the reminder. I'm going to go there this morning. And I thought, yo, okay. Right there, I knew that God's promise that he promised me a long time ago actually came true. Just because, I was wearing a shirt and it wasn't really the banner that he wanted. And I felt that wearing that, even though it was people are going to, and I'm going to feel uncomfortable and I'm playing this music, but it's actually know that this true thing, I'm putting the truth on my back and he's going to notice it. And he did notice, and I don't know if he did go to church or not that morning, but again, it's not for me to see or to update, but it's just God doing the work, that guy saw it and that God told me to actually wear a banner of his name, and that guy probably went to church. Yeah, and God's promise is true. And again, just through that obedience of actually wearing it, when I was actually scared to wear that shirt, and I said, no, I'm going to do it regardless of what people think.
Yeah. What's one thing that you feel like that you want to encourage people to, through what God has done in you, what's one thing you want to go, hey, follow God in this way?
I feel like if God has placed something on your heart, whether you think maybe it's not him or not, you will know that it is him because it is good in what he's trying to let you do. And sometimes he's going to tell you things that you're going to be like, that's not me. I'm going to be very uncomfortable in that place. He's not going to put you in a place where you're going to feel comfortable. He's going to put you in a place where you're uncomfortable and where you're going to grow and where he's going to show you where he actually wants to lead you. And actually through that, maybe it'll lead you to people or lead you to growth in yourself. So just want to do that. Just the obedience as well. Through that, you're gonna see God and how he's going to work through your life.
Amen. Well done, Angelo. We're going to have one more story and then we're going to pray for a couple of things. Abu. Here we go. Cool. Let's reach out our hands towards her. Father, we thank you for Abu. We thank you for just the blessing, God, that she has become to us. And we just pray for your peace to reign in her heart, God. And I thank you, Lord, that what she's going to bring, Lord, is going to be building us up and lifting our eyes to you as the risen and glorious God whom we serve. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Morning, church. I'm so nervous. Today, I just want to share on how God has carried me over the years up until now. I always say to myself or to other people that I believe that I've been carried by grace. It's all by the grace of God that I'm still standing today. My story begins, oh, there's a lot of stories, but I'll try to make it short and summarize so that you guys can see. So I got saved in 2012, yes. At the time, my family is like Methodist, so I remember my grandmother used to want me to go to church, and I would hide and don't want to go to church, but I remember this other lady who invited me to a church that I was in before, Josh Jane. Even that night, I didn't want to go to church. I was like, you're wasting my time. Why should I go to church? But when I got to church, when I got saved, I found so much joy and I was so much at peace. And I thought, you know what, maybe this is the right thing. And then I started serving at that church before, and for me, I felt like this is where I was supposed to be. Like I gave myself to Jesus right there and then. I remember I was like a week in the church, and I started serving like in the worship team. Like I would go to practices and stuff like that, and I started serving into the worship team. And since then, I've been like serving in the worship team in the church before. So I remember when I was in the church, me and my husband, like, we were full on. Like, we gave our lives. I'm not saying that it was always easy. There were challenges. There were times where I would feel like, you know what? I don't think this Jesus thing is working. But then God will remind me, like, he will highlight the things that he has done for me already. Like, he would take me back where I got saved. Even today, when I feel like I become weary, I just go back to that day, because I remember even the scriptures do say that, remember your first love. So sometimes when I feel like I'm not doing enough for the Lord, I'm distracted, I always go back to my first love. So I would love to share in 2019, I got pregnant with Iana. And I remember 8 months into the pregnancy, we found out that the baby has an umbilical cord around the neck, and that is not a good sign, because the child might not make it when I give birth, and also they might now have to do a C-section or stuff like that. And my prayer, I remember when I first got pregnant, I started praying. I journal a lot, so I started journaling my prayers, and like a lot, everything, I put it down. So I started journaling from that day, journal my prayers to say, Lord, I'm praying for a safe pregnancy, and I'm praying for a natural birth. So when the news came, everything shifted for me. I was like, yo, Lord, what is this now? And I started panicking. Anyone like would panic in that. But we were told to pray, and we started praying. Like we prayed every day. And I remember my husband would go to church each and every day. Even if he's coming from work, he would go to church and pray at the altar. We're praying for the safe delivery of the baby. And the day came, I gave birth, and I gave birth to Iana, and there was nothing. There was no umbilical cord. He was a bouncing, healthy baby boy. You see him every day here. He's very loud and very busy, and he loves the Lord. Like, if you say, let's pray, he's the first one to want to pray. I hear even at kids' church, most of people who are serving there, they'll come to me and be like, yo, Iana always prays. Even when we started coming, he was a bit younger then. He couldn't even speak normally, but he would pray. It doesn't care if you don't get what he's saying, but he would pray. So I thank God for that. I mean, that's a blessing, and I've seen God there. And yeah, we stayed in the church, we served in the church, we gave our all, but then a lot of things happens. I don't want to go deeper in that, but we were in a point where we are not in agreement anymore with the things that were done in the church. We're in a point where there was a lot of hurt, there was a lot of things that are not aligned with the scriptures. But I just want to highlight this. What made us to be able to distinguish what is good and what is not good is the fact that we gave ourselves to the Lord. we created like a personal relationship with God. I know I would always say, even when I'm encouraging other people, that it's good to have a church. It's good to fellowship. I mean, it's in the Bible. That's what God wants us to do. But it's also good that you know Jesus for yourself. It's good that you listen to my story, take something from it, but it's good that you have your own testimony where you would say that, actually, I've seen God in this way. So that's what helped me personally. I made that relationship with God. I made time alone with God. So when everything shifted in the church, because the church was good when it started, but along the way, everything just changed, and we could see now this is not what we signed up for. And then God highlighted a lot of things, and we started praying about it. It didn't up and leave, guys. We prayed. We asked for like meetings to meet with the leader to be like, okay, we are not sure about this and this, but nothing changed. And I remember I started praying for a church. I prayed that, God, if now this is not going to change, now I need to get out of here, and I'm praying for a church where I can serve, where I can be told about you, where I can see you in the church. And then, remember, I'm still in the church, I'm still serving, but I'm doing that prayer. I remember the last day or a Sunday that I didn't go, I woke up in the morning on a Sunday, and it was a normal day. I prepared for the kids, I prepared for my husband, and I'd be like, you guys can go. I'm not going to that church. And to my surprise, he didn't even ask me why. He was like, okay, and he took the kids. They went to church. And I started sitting in my corner. I have a prayer corner at home where I would like write my prayers and post them on the wall and just pray, sit down on the cushion and pray. I sat there for I don't know how long, and I started praying. And I remember 45 minutes of me praying, not saying anything, but just crying. I cried, and I wanted to say something, but nothing is coming up. I'm not like, I'm just crying. When I look at the time when I was done crying, it was like 45 minutes. And there, the Lord highlighted to me that scripture that says, in times where we do not know what to pray, the Holy Spirit with the groanings, he says the prayers for us. Because I could feel that this is a prayer that I was doing, because after that I felt so light. I felt like something had shifted, and I was like, okay, I'm ready now. I'm ready to go somewhere else. And that was a Sunday. They came back, and then I told my husband, I'm not going back to that church. And then he was like, good, I was waiting for you to say that. And for me, that was like, I said, thank you, Jesus, because I thought maybe he's going to say, no, we can't do that. And then now we are not in agreement. So by the grace of God, we're in an agreement. And then he remembered that there's a friend of his, my husband, that had invited him to Josh Train a while ago. But because we were like full on serving in the church, we couldn't visit Josh Train. The name of the guy is Kevin. He's in Melanton congregation. So he invited him before. So he reached out on him to say, hey, where's your church? We want to go next week. And then he gave us the name and everything. We were supposed to go to Milanton. But on the day, on a Sunday, I put the name Josh Chen on the map. He was driving, obviously. So I'm the one who's driving the map. And then I just said Josh Chen. And then all the congregation came up, and then I clicked on the first one. And the first one happened to be Edgemead. We drove. But we didn't even realize that then. We drove. Okay, we are happy in the car. We are singing. And then I'm thinking, when we hear by the, this drop was just opposite Food Lovers. No, man. This is Edgemead. We are supposed to go to Melanton. And then he's like, but the map says turn right. I'm like, okay, turn right. And then we turned. We drove. And then when we're here, okay, we saw the church, we saw the sign. I was like, this is Josh Chen. We might as well just go. Then we can go to Melanton next week. And then we came. We're like, okay. And I was praying on that day. I was still so broken. And I was like, Lord, please, can the worship team do like me good today? Like, I need to cry. I need to cry. I need to sing. I need to do everything. And then, yeah, we came, and then obviously the service started. Yo, I cried. I was standing that side. I was like the praise was so good. Everything was so good. And after the service, we were still so shocked, like people coming to us and greeting us and inviting us to their homes. And I'm like, okay, what is this? We're not used to this. And for me, the highlight on that day was the love in the church, like the spirit of family. I was so drawn, and I was like, this is the church. I said that this is the church. But now we had to decide, are we coming back here or are we going back to Melantin? And then I looked at him, I'm like, I think we found the church. We don't have to go to Melantin. So that's how we came to Josh Jane. But then I'm still in awe, like how God has like carried me all this time, even even the transition from the other church to here. For me, it's not about like the church or anything that happened. And I'm very grateful also for everything that happened in that church, because for me, it was a lesson. And I know now like what is good, and I know what is not good. And I felt like the Lord was teaching me that now I can be able to stand for anything. Like, it's more like he was like preparing me for another season. And I'm not taking anything away from them. They introduced me to Christ. They taught me how to pray. They taught me the word, and it just didn't work out. So I just wanted to highlight that. And also I'm just reminded of another story where I got into an accident just before we came to Josh Jane in 2022, and it was the 14th of May. The car was almost like a write-off. I was alone in the car. But when I get out of the car, I looked at myself. I was like, no bleeding, no scratches, like nothing. It was just pains, but nothing like was cut or anything like that. For me, I saw God in that as well. I saw God carrying me in that sense as well. So I remember now coming back to Josh Jane again when we started. That was the first Sunday I told you about. And then we came. Oh, I forgot something. When I left that church, I said to myself, I am never, ever going to serve in the church again. I am done. I did it for 12 years there. It was all in vain, well, I thought. And I said, I want a church. I'm going to be a saint. I'm coming to the church. I sit down, listen to the word, worship, go home. That's my life. And thank God, where I'm going, no one knows me. No one knows my gift. Like, I'm just going to be myself. Second Sunday into the church, I'm standing here, we're worshiping. Someone comes to me and like, I have a word. I'm like, yo, what is it? And then she goes on. It was Charlene's mom. And then she said, the Lord has highlighted that you have a song in your heart right now. And you have such an anointed voice. And people were going to get healed, saved through you, through your voice and all that. I'm like, Lord, I thought we discussed this. Like, I was trying to be a Yona there. And then I was like, oh, that is true. Like, I do have a song. And, like, I confirmed everything. And she's like, you are going to sing. I'm like, what? No. Like, you're going to sing now. And then she grabbed me with my hand and she's like, you're going to Rihanna. And at that time, I'm like, I'm not used to that. Like, we don't do that where I come from. You don't just get up and say, I have a word, or get up and say, I have a song. You sit down, you listen to what is being taught. You are not allowed to do those things. So that was out of my comfort zone. So what you said, Angelo, is true. Like, the Lord will make you do things that are out of your comfort zone. So I sang that Sunday. And then from there, I was like, no, it's fine. I sang. I heard what she said, but it's okay. But people came like saying the same thing over and over again to me about joining the worship team, when are you joining, and all that stuff. And I thought, no, man, I don't want to do this. But yeah, I started, after a while, I was like, okay, I'm giving in. Let's do this, Lord. And I started coming to the practice. But then at the time, I felt like the Lord is still doing some work in me. I just needed to give myself into the Lord and pray about it and like spend time with the Lord before I can actually join the worship team, because I felt I'm going to join, but I feel like there's still a lot of work that needed to be done. But eventually I did join the worship team, praise the Lord. And in that, I just learned that if the Lord has called you in anything, you cannot run away from it. Doesn't matter if you run here, you say, okay, I'm going to go to Mozambique and no one knows me there. God knows you and he will find you there and he will make sure that you serve him or you do what you are called to do. So, yeah, that is a bit of my story today, and I just wanted to encourage you that have faith in Jesus. It doesn't matter what you are facing, because now I'm also just reminded of my story, sorry, Rian, of like losing my job. And in that season, it was just such a dry season. And but then what kept me going as well, it was like, if you did it before, you can do it again. So I trusted the Lord. I had faith in Jesus that he will do something for me. Like he will bring what I'm praying for, he will bring it to fruition. And in that time, it was just for me. I thought, but Lord, why? I didn't understand. But at the end of it, he said to me in that moment that you don't understand now what I'm doing, but later you will. And indeed, I did understand, because I got to spend more time with him in that time. I felt like he was just pruning me. He was just preparing me for something great. And when I got this job, which I testified about it before, now what is happening is so amazing at work. And all the ladies that I'm working with, they're Christians. So as we are in prayer role, because that's how we call it. I'm working in payroll. But we call it pray roll with my colleagues, because we are all Christians. We pray about stuff. We share. We encourage each other. And because we wanted more team members to come, we need more team members. And then we needed a manager. And I prayed about it. I was like, Lord, can we get someone nice? And God did something more than that. She's also a Christian. She's not only nice, she's also a Christian. I'm like, you know what? We can just build a church in the office. So for me, that is the goodness of the Lord. I've seen his goodness. I've seen him working with me. And for that has built my faith. I don't care, even if I hear people saying there's no God, God is dead. For me, God is alive. Like, I've seen... I thought I was not going to cry... I've seen him, like, there is no one or nothing that will ever take me out of God. I don't care. And I thank him that even in that time where we thought everything was just not going right in the church, but we hold on to Jesus, because sometimes people will give up in the church and give up on God. But thank God that we never gave up on him, and he always come through for us. So my heart for you today is just to hang on and to trust and have faith in him. Amen.
Well done. So I think what's important for us to hear this morning is that God is working through each and every person. And he doesn't care what you look like, where you come from, what's been happening. He's looking for those that are willing to be used by him. And I want to just, through the testimonies that they shared this morning, I want to first of all throw out something of a just some responses to this. Because I think... it's important for us to hear this and not just hear, okay, cool, great story, but allow the story to actually change us. Allow the story to impact us in the way that we see God and the way that we respond to God and go after God. Scripture tells us that they overcame him, speaking about the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb, meaning Jesus and what Jesus has done, and by the word of their testimony. And the word of their testimony is the story of God, of what God is doing in our lives. Not just that I have tasted God and I have seen God and therefore I have hope that God is working in me, but also for those around us to encourage. Scripture consistently encourages us to encourage one another daily as we see the day of Jesus coming back, drawing near. To encourage one another with the word of God, not just reading of Scripture, but actually what God is doing here in people's lives. And like we've been saying, God is still writing His story in and through our lives. And so when we hear these stories, it is meant for us to be encouraged. It is meant for us to actually, if there's a fear or something or whatever is holding us back, to say, actually, because God has done it for Angelo, or because God, what God has done in Albu's life, I will give myself to the Lord and allow Him to work in me. Amen. So, I just felt here this morning, as Angelo shared, this thing of feeling that actually no one loves me. I don't have friends. Actually, would someone even miss me? And this morning, I felt like we've got to press a number on that thing, because I believe it's a lie from the enemy. It's a lie from the enemy to even think that for one moment that we are without purpose and we are without place. God created us, each and every one of us, in His image. Not one person sitting here this morning is without purpose or without something of God's likeness. And when God looks at you and me, He sees someone that carries His stamp, that carries His image. And in that place, He's got a purpose. And so this morning, and maybe I can just get, Lauren, if you can just get, this morning, I want to say, and it might not be that you want to take your life, like what He felt like, but it might be that actually in a place of where you sit in a room, that you sit alone, that you hold people off afar, that you feel like, I'm not the guy that's friends with everyone. And we actually remove ourselves from relationship, and we remove ourselves from people to get to know us. Because we kind of go like, no, anyway, they will reject me, so I just do it myself. And I know I'm asking something boldier this morning, but these stories are meant to be real life accounts of God that is not dead, Jesus that is still working, that is still writing stories. And so if we hear these things, we've got to say like, hey, these things are real. It's not just, and I'm not making small of the scriptures, it's not just words on a page that happened 2,000 years ago. No, this is here and today. This is a live account of God working. And so if that is you here this morning, if you are that one that's alone in the group, feeling like you've got no place, got no purpose, I want to this morning encourage you to actually say, hey, that's me. Because we needed Angelo's story today. Because God knows about you. And He wants you to know that there's people around you and that there is Him who cares for you, who has a plan for you, who has a purpose for you. And so I want to ask you to be bold in this moment. If that's you here today, don't you just want to stand? Say, Rian, man, that's me. I'm struggling. And that takes a lot. There we go. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else?
Talking, I just felt like there might be someone here who almost has an offense against God, that that they feel they're believing the lie that God doesn't love them and God only does good things for other people, God only provides for other people, they only see God's hand in other people's lives. So yeah, I just felt like there might be someone like that.
Is there anyone else? Okay, so I'm going to ask Angelo. Don't you want to come?
Just what do you want to do? You want to pray for me? Yeah. Just before it prays, I just want to share 30 seconds.
Okay, like before.
Yeah,
You don't know what it does in me. A lot of you may know who I am. 15 years ago, I was Angelo, planning to kill myself in Eden on the Bay, because I was there where he was when God touched me. The word says this, that God puts the lonely into family. Man, you know how big my family is now, but it meant I had to be part of the family where he placed me.
Just the people around, the people that are standing, if you can just lay your hands on one another. Oh, yes, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that they are bold this morning, that they can stand and they can say, I am here, I am lonely, in a room full of people, in a family that loves, that they are feeling alone, God. And I pray that from today, Lord, that they can see this love from this family that you have placed them in, not by mistake, but actually that they are placed here to be loved, to be loved by you, to be loved by family, friends around, people and leaders. And yeah, just to be loved in that. I pray that as you've taken this darkness over my eyes away and brought this light, I pray that you do the same for them, God. I pray that you bring a light, that a light of joy, a light of love, something that they haven't experienced yet here or even outside, God. And I just pray that, yeah, that we reach out. We be a family, a community that can love one another, bring each other up, stir each other up into the new. And actually, yeah, just to bring this fellowship together and bring people in, whether or not they can't be at places, that we actually go and we pick them up and we have a coffee with them, have a milkshake or anything like that. And actually just to love one another and speak about our lives, be open, yeah, just so we can experience the love of you, God.
Can I ask us if those that are not praying? No, don't worry. Can we stretch out our hands to Sandra? Yeah. Yes, Lord. Okay. So I think this morning is a case in point that actually church is not something that just runs on a program. We spend time with God, and when God's Spirit comes and does a work, we sit and we wait on Him to continue and accomplish the work. And so as they are going on there, God is doing a deep work in her heart. I think there's something more for us here. And just through Abu's story, I really felt like it's important for us to actually acknowledge God's hand in our lives. Because for some of us, sometimes we can think, oh, that was just good luck. Or, oh, that was just this. But actually turn to God and actually, God, You have given me, You've let the boundaries fall in pleasant places for me. God, You have looked after me. You have protected me. And this morning, I want to ask that if you, just even as all were spoken, and there's a story that's come up in your heart or a situation that's come up where you know, man, actually God there did a work. God actually saved me there. Or God actually helped me there. Or God actually provided for me there. I want us this morning to respond to that in the sense of actually standing and just in our own voice, just to say, God, we want to thank You. We want to thank You. And God, help me to continuously and consistently speak about the thing that You are doing, where You have healed, where You have provided, where You've kept me safe, even where You've come and brought peace where it felt like, man, I was anxious. And so if that is you this morning and you know that there's a story that came up and like, can you stand with me? Thank You, Lord. And so I'm going to ask Abby to come and pray for us. But as she prays for us, I want to encourage you that you also in your own words that you pray and say, Lord, thank You. And so maybe let's do that first. So let's do that first. Let's pray. So there we are at. If you can lift your voice and say, God, thank You. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord, I just want to say thank You, God. Thank You for everything that You are doing for us. Thank You for Your faithfulness and Your kindness towards us, Lord. And I just want to pray for us today, Lord, that we can always, always run into You, Father. It doesn't matter what we face, doesn't matter the challenges that we go through the day, but I pray that we can always have a heart of being grateful, Lord, and always come back to You, Jesus. I pray, Father God, that our faith will always be in You, Lord, for Your word says it is impossible to please You without faith, Lord. I pray that You can always, Father God, give us that faith that will please You, that we can worship You, Father God, in a way that is pleasing, that is acceptable, Father. I pray, Lord, oh God, that You help us as we go into our homes, that You help us, Father God, to always remain with a grateful heart, that wherever we are in our school, in our homes, that be with us, oh God, and that we can always show people that are around us that You are alive, You are not dead, You are indeed a living God. I pray, Father God, that we can always praise You and people can see how great You are through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to encourage us. God is writing His story in your life, in my life, in our workplaces, in our family, in all the different places where we touch and walk and move. And I want to encourage us, let's be open to what God is doing. And again, if you've got something that you feel like this morning, and maybe you've heard of these two stories and go, hey, God is doing even more in my life, I can share. I want to encourage you. Come speak to me, to one of the elders, because we would love to create the space for what God is busy doing. And through these, the lives of one another, encouraging one another and building each other up about who God is and about what He is doing in our lives. Amen. If you're visiting with us, we would love for you to stay.